We are up to Halacha Yud Beis, Simen Ayin Hey, on page Ayin Aleph. Page Ayin Aleph, Simen Ayin Hey, Halacha Yud Beis, the very top. Tavo Niach Esachaloi, Salashulcha Kodim Shamalikim Esaneris, Kilakamon Sim Pei Tes Sif Beis. So we just concluded the Halacha that there's a problem of a Mevatel Kli Mehe Chonoi. If you put on the table, you're not allowed to put on the table on Shabbos itself a kli, a utensil, in order to receive the drops of oil. The drops of oil are muksa, and by putting the receptacle to be mekabel the oil, you're causing the utensil to become muksa, because now it's supporting the oil which is muksa, and you're no longer allowed to move the utensil for the remainder of Shabbos. So you're taking a utensil that was usable, that had functionality, that can be transported from place to place, and now you're putting it out of use, you're putting it out of its misery, it's no longer be able to be used. You're not allowed to do that on Shabbos. That's called Mevatel Kli Mechonai. Now for that matter, he continues upon that idea of Muksa. If you have a table, a dining room table, on your dining room table you have your candelabra. So what happens? Are you allowed to move the table on Shabbos after the candle? While the candles are lit, for sure not. While the neris are lit, it's a bus. This the davar ha'asa. It's what's the davar mutter? Oh, that's what we're coming to right now. But let's say you did not put chalas on the table, so the only thing the table is supporting, are the ner shel Shabbos. So then it's muksa. It's a basis for davar ha'asar, and the rule of muksa kicks in at the time of bein hashmashos. So whatever status it has at the time of bein hashmashos is the status it remains with through the duration of Shabbos. So you can't move it during bein hashmashos. You can't move it for the remainder of Shabbos. If the only thing on the table at the time of bein hashmashos when a woman lights candles is the neiros shel Shabbos, so the entire table is supporting the muksa. It's a bus that's a davar ha'asar, and then when the candles go out, since bein hashmashos it was a basis, you're not allowed to move the table for the remainder of Shabbos. Since it was very common, at least years ago, when people lived in much smaller dwelling places, and you would need room during Shabbos day to accommodate different activities or events that would take place, you would want to move the table. In order to avoid this problem, is that the table should not only be a support for davar ha'asar, it should be a support for davar ha'asar v'davar hamutar. And once it's all supporting the chalois, so then you're allowed to move the table after the candles go out.
Are you allowed to move the candle or after they go out? Are you allowed to move the tray?
No, that you for sure cannot do, because that you're touching.
You need a room or anything?
You cannot say, what do you want to do exactly?
In other words, here's my candelabra.
Yeah.
Candles are out. This is my table. And so I want to set a place setting for somebody to sit here.
No, definitely not.
It's
muksa. So you want to say that it's a, you would say tzach mukama. You're suggesting that it's muksa, that you're allowed to move muksa l'tzarech mukama. So seemingly yes, since muksa machmas iser is mutal l'tzarech guv l'tzarech mukama, and if the place where the candelabra is a place where you need to make a place setting, so technically you would be allowed to move it. Yeah. What do you mean, Rav Shimon? We pass like that. We pass that muksa davar ha'asa. Muksa. It's a kli shemalach. It's not a kli. It's davar ha'asa mamish.
So that's a different
muksa. A different type of muksa. Right? I don't know the answer. Machmas muksa machas iser is also a filus shachuv mukaymai. So you can't move it. Saying you can't move it since the ner itself is not a kli. It's mamish iser mamish. A shalheves is iser. I'm sorry. I made a mistake. You're right. The only time you're allowed to move something with tzarech mekoymai is a kli, a utensil that is normally used l'davar ha'as. The classic example is a hammer. A hammer, there's nothing inherently wrong with a hammer. A hammer is a utensil. You can use the hammer to crack nuts. You can use a hammer as a paperweight. But a hammer, what is the hammer's primary function? Something which is also on Shabbos, to bang nails. Bang a nail on Shabbos is a melacha d'oraisa of boina. putting a nail into a wall is a malacha derais of boine. So the hammer is a kli, a utensil, shemalachtoi, whose function is to do an avera. But the hammer itself is not an avera. There's nothing inherently wrong with the hammer. It's only something which is used to do an avera. The rule is a kli shemalachtoi leiser is muksa. You're not allowed to move a hammer for no reason at all on Shabbos, even if it's in your way. But if I need the place of the hammer is in my way. I want to put a place setting where the hammer is. Ilachatilu, you can pick up the hammer, and you can once you pick it up, you can put it down wherever you want. Or if I want to use the hammer to break nuts, I want to use it for a permissible function, to break nuts, or I want to use the hammer as a paperweight, lechatchila you can pick it up in the usual way. But a shalheves, a flame, is much worse. A shalheves is the iser itself. It's not a kli. The flame that's burning in your leichter is the actual prohibition. You're not allowed to light. You're not allowed to light. Therefore, everything that is supporting that shalheves has the same status as the shalheves. A shalheves cannot be moved on Shabbos litzorch gufa litzorch mekoyma. Doesn't matter. One, because when Shabbos began, when it was Ben Hashmashos, there was a shalheves. The leichter was supporting the shalheves, and the tray was supporting the leichter, and the table was supporting the shalheves. So every single thing that was supporting that shalheves has the status as iser, and a davar ha'osur is muksa, cannot be moved. Afilu litzorech mekoymai.
So the key thing is where it was Ben Hashmashos.
Yes, that's the key thing.
What about a flower vase?
A flower vase only
has no tzarech.
I believe a flower vase is not muksa. You have all these shalos on Shavuos. I'm moving flowers. And most of the poskim are very makel. You can move flowers in Shabbos. Flowers are not muksa. A flower vase that has flowers inside is not muksa. It's not muksa, and it's you can move it. No, not necessarily. It's not mechubal karka. An otzet shenanok, it's not mechubal karka, it's not muksa. So you have this on Shavuos. It's muksa. They all, you need a lot of water them. Even to water them is not on Shabbos. I don't know the answer. So I don't know.
We do that on Sukkot with
your. I don't know the answer. Let's hold off on that. Yeah.
A vase of light flowers you can move on Shabbos.
Yes, I believe so. There's a question of changing the water. If you're allowed to completely empty out the vase and put in brand new water, so some are machmer, some hold that you can add water. You can add water to a flower vase on Shabbos, but to take out the old water and put in new water, there are different opinions regarding that matter. Some are of the opinion you can't do. But to move flowers, it's very common. You go to a kiddush. You go to a kiddush Shabbos afternoon. And there's a kiddush, and then they're setting up the tables for the suda, for the meal, and there are flowers. You want to move around the flowers? You can move around the flowers. Flowers are not muksa.
So, guess you can do it. Even touching
the flowers itself, you can move the entire thing. You're allowed to move the vase with the flowers. They're not muksa. Right, lulav. Okay, Shabbos might be different, but Yom Tov you're allowed. Yom Tov you definitely, I know, I remember learning, you're allowed to add water to the vase that has. But changing the water, pouring out the old water, putting in new water, some hold already. That's called a tikkun. That's already called a tikkun mona. That already is more problematic. Okay, let's see. So here in the halachic base, it says that it's good to put on the table. Toiv lahaniach. Because in order to make the table now, you can't move the tray, the leichter, you can't move off the table. That you can't move, because the leichter has to be sticky as muksa. But the table can be moved, because the table now is supporting not only davar asar, davar hamutar as well. Okay, that's later on in Simon Peites, we'll meet Hashem, and we'll learn the laws of muksa. Halacha Yud Gimel. Isha Suma im Yeshla Baal Yalik Habal Vivarech. A woman who's blind, she cannot derive benefit from the Neros. Is she allowed to make a bracha on the Ner Shabbos? So the answer is, it's better not. Better that her husband should light and make the bracha. However, v'im ein lo baal, let's say she is not married or her husband is not available, v'hi dar levada, she is all alone, madlekes u'mevareches, she can light and she can even make a bracha. But if she is not deriving direct benefit, that doesn't matter. Other people will derive benefit. So, and the male, she will derive benefit. If she needs help, she will call someone, and the only reason why they'll be able to come to her assistance is because there is light in the room. So So being that other people will derive benefit from her light, which will in turn give her benefit, that is enough of a reason for her to make the bracha. And you also have to keep in mind that the lining of the Neros is not only to derive benefit. We discussed this many times. There are three reasons why we light candles. Number one is Oynik Shabbos. Number two is Shalom Bayis. And number three is Kavod Shabbos, honor of Shabbos. So certainly there is no owning. A woman, well, that's debatable, but a woman who cannot see derive benefit from the light itself directly, there's a lack of onik. But it's not a total lack of onik, being that her assistant, her aide, or any other family member that comes to help her will be able to derive benefit, and by their deriving benefit, she will in turn derive benefit. There is also a degree of onik. There's also shalom bayis, because if the person that's going to come to her home is going to trip on the floor, then that's not going to be very pleasant. There's going to be a lack of shalom. And the most important thing why is she can make the bracha is because it's kavod. Even though she's not actually deriving benefit from the light, the fact that she's doing a pu'ula, an action to give honor to Shabbos, that is called kavod, even though she is not deriving direct benefit. We spoke many times, Rav Moshe, when we learned, when we began this halach, the simon, we mentioned Rav Moshe that Bezman Hazeh, that really is the ikar. Even though the Tam Chazal, the ikar was Shalom Bayis and Oynik Shabbos, but being that Bezman Hazeh, we have electricity and we have lights, there are lights all over the place, there are lights in the street, there are lights at home. We can't avoid having light from somewhere else. So the light that is being provided from other sources is already accomplishing the inyan of shalom bayis and is accomplishing the oneg. So why then bezman hazeh do we make a bracha? Rav Moshe says it must be the ikar bezman hazeh is the kavod, the act, the pu'ul that we do to give honor to the Shabbos. So certainly a woman who is blind is also doing the pu'ul of kavod. But if she has a husband who can also have direct hana, it would be ideal for the husband to make the bracha. Let's see what it says here. V'imdar im achedin, the bayis echad, if she lives with other people in another bayis. Let's say she's living in an assisted living facility. She's not the only one that's there. There are other people living there together. Other people are lighting. My lekes hasuma b'loy bracha. So since other people are lighting with the bracha, as we discussed many times, the lighting of candles is a complex halacha. It's chovas gavra, but it's also chovas bayis. And sometimes the chovas bayis overrides the chovas gavra. If someone in this bayis, in this location, is lighting to a certain degree, maker hadin, the other people, all the other individuals are exempt. Once one ner is being lit in this location, maker hadin, that is sufficient. The minig is, every person lights for themselves, every married person lights for themselves. But people that are not married do not light for themselves, they rely upon the host of the bayis. Excuse but
me. I don't look at the seers, I don't understand. He's talking about a blind woman.
A woman who's blind, can't.
How can we say, matalekes and varekes, how can she see what?
She has experience. It means you can go today. People today who are blind, they are very sophisticated. They know exactly what they're doing. They're able to get around. They're very sophisticated. Rahman al-Sad, these people who are blind, they're able to get around. So she also has a table, she has the lights, she can sense, she can light the candle, she knows how to do it. Does she do it? Make her then yes, because she's doing a pu'ula that is in honor of Shabbos. She's not deriving benefit. So if there's someone else lighting, so let the other person make the bracha. If she's living with a roommate, let the other person make the bracha. If she could also light, but when she lights, she should not make the bracha. Let's see. Achim, he says one more exception. Achim, he ikeres habayis. Let's say she is the ikeres habayis. She is the head of the household, and she is blind, and there are other people lighting. And she indeed can make the bracha. So she shall light first, because if other people will light first, then there's a suffix, maybe her bracha will be bracha levatala. So if she's the first one to light, that will be the first pu'ula, first action of Kavod Shabbos, that will be sufficient for her to make a bracha, and then the other people can light, because we learned last week is that if each additional candle that's lit by another person, there's a tosefes, there's an enhancement of more light, an additional bracha can be made. Okay, yeah.
Is there a Rav Moshe somewhere suggests that you should put out the room light.
Yeah, we discussed this last week. Yeah, we discussed last week. Yeah, that we that lechatchila you should turn the lights off before you make the bracha. Kalocha yidal, we discussed
in the last scenario. In here, kerosene bias. Talagi tchila v'tavach. So why do we have people have to light again?
Because the minig is every married woman lights or makes a bracha on her own candles. So the minigas, let's say you have five married women, they're sharing an apartment. Okay, five married women. So do all, let me take a step back. Let's say you have five boys, five single boys sharing an apartment. Okay, not so uncommon. Or five girls, or even two girls sharing an apartment. Do they light candles? Absolutely. Who lights candles? Each one of them? No. Only one. One person lights, everyone has to contribute to the cost of the ner, or one person's mezakeh picks up the candle on behalf of them all. They all have a shutfis in the neros. One person makes a bracha. Being that they're not married, they're all single, then we fall back on the rule that it's chovas bayis. Ner Shabbos is an obligation on the bayis, not on the person, not on the individual. As long as one person is lighting candles with the bracha, that covers everyone living in these quarters, because all five people are single. What happens if five married women are living together in one room? So each one makes their own bracha.
So why is she called like Keres HaBayis?
So here we have a situation, meaning she's the owner, she's senior. She is the senior member of the household. So the problem is, when you have, let's say, you have two people living in a house together, and one is blind. And so Me'ikar HaDin, since the one that's not blind will be lighting with a bracha, and the one that's not blind will be deriving benefit because she can see. And Me'ikar HaDin, the obligation falls upon the bayis, not upon the individual. And the one that's blind will not really be deriving benefit if she were to make her own bracha. It's preferred that she does not make a bracha in this instance. However, but she'll feel bad, because her entire life she was making a bracha. Now that she's blind and she's living with a partner, means that she has to stop making a bracha. The solution is, if she will light first, if she'll be the first one to light, since she is the Ikeres HaBayis, and the covered Shabbos is enough of a reason to make a bracha, especially when other people in the bayis will benefit from that light as well, and that will in turn be a benefit for her, and she's the first one to do so, that's good. But if she'll be the second one to light, that's more problematic, because since someone else already has made a bracha and already is illumination, and the second one, the woman who's blind, is the second one to light, and she really will not be deriving any benefit, so it's questionable if she really is ideal for her to make the bracha. So to avoid the problem, let her make the bracha first.
This blind woman, Rachmanis, like, cannot be motzi the other one.
No, the minig is women are not married. One woman, married woman, is not motzi another married woman.
But it's not the blind woman that prevents her from being...
No, not at all. No. It's the fact that she's not deriving benefit because she's blind is the problem. If there's already going to be light, then it's more problematic. If there's not going to be light, she's the first one to light. She's the first one that's providing illumination, so then she can make the bracha. Then the second one is no different than if there were two married women living together who are not blind, where the second one can make the bracha. Yeah. You have guests, yeah? If you're a guest, doesn't make a difference. So if you're a guest, the custom is every married woman lights her own candles with a bracha. Every married woman, once a woman is married, she lights candles with a bracha, no matter how many neros. It can be as light as day. There can be 1,000 neros on the dining room table, and her additional two candles is not going to add any more light. It doesn't matter. She can light with a bracha.
You said last week that let's say you go into somebody else's house Friday night and you go before Shabbos, so enough time to get there for candlelight, you should still light where you're eating back in your own house.
Yes.
Okay, and then you're going to light again
if you arrive there with the place where you're eating, you should light there. You should light there.
In both places.
No, you only make a brach in one place. Only in one place. Light should be there should be light. Candles or light should be put on l'shem kavod Shabbos, both where you eat and where you sleep. Most of the time, people go away. They're not going to be in the place where they're eating, so they're not going to have a chance to light. But if they will arrive early, before sunset, l'chatchila they should make the brach in the place where they eat. But before they leave, they should turn off and turn on a light, or even light a candle in the place where they're going to sleep, l'shem kavod Shabbos.
Okay, so I'm leaving, let's say Shabbos now is 8:15. So you're going to somebody's house to eat Friday night. You and your wife's going to get there, let's say, hypothetically 7:30. So she's leaving her house at 7 p.m. Right?
Yes.
Okay.
So before she leaves, she should light candles.
Okay. Right.
She should light candles, l'shem kavod Shabbos.
And not make a bracha.
And not make a bracha.
And then she goes over there at 7:30. She's going to light there.
And she'll make a bracha there. Make a bracha. That's what appears to be the ideal thing to do.
Okay.
Correct. You're getting me nervous. I'm going to go look it up. And you better hold me. You better remind me. That's. I spent a lot of time going through this. I didn't bring it today. The radiance of Shabbos. That's what appears to be the right thing to do. Okay, but I'm going to go look it up again because you're getting me nervous. Yeah. Yeah. The Iker Mokoyim to light is the place where you eat.
Right.
But you also need to have neros lit in the place where you sleep because of shalom eyes. If you're going to go back home to a dark home, there's a lack. You have to always take into account. There are three reasons. Kavod Shabbos, Onik Shabbos, and shalom bayis. Kavod can be done anywhere. Doesn't really make a difference.
You say, if we take our Moshe's reason, you're going to have electrical lights back where you sleep.
Yeah.
Then doesn't that negate the need to light in your own place where you're sleeping? Because the Kavod Shabbos is going to be over there where you're eating, no?
But even Rav Moshe agrees that the Kavod is not the Iker. When Chazal were misaking the Takana, Kavod was a secondary reason. The Iker Tam aligning is Oneg and Shalom Bayis. That's the Iker Tam. Today, Rav Moshe takes note that these reasons have fallen away, by and large, because of electric lights. So why are we lighting Bisman Hazeh? We're lighting primary Kavod Shabbos, but it doesn't take away what the Iker is. Where is the Iker Onik Shabbos? Where you're eating. That's the Iker. So if you can make the bracha in the place where you eat, that would be ideal.
So what's the purpose of them lighting in your house where you're...
Shalom Bayis. Because when you come back home... So the lights that you turn off, the lights in your... Even the electric lights should be turned off and on the shame Kavod Shabbos. But the Iker is to you to do the way Chazal or Masak. And there's a question in Bichlal if electricity is a fulfillment of Ner Shabbos. Turning on electric lights, according to many opinions, is not, you can't make a bracha. Moshe holds you can't make a bracha on electricity. We discussed, we went to like five reasons why.
Well,
we discussed. Okay, but that's only B'diav. Even the post that said you can make a bracha, they themselves didn't rely upon that. That's only in unusual circumstances. You can make a bracha on electric. But l'chatchila, the way you mekayim the mitzvah is by lighting candles. Okay. Is by lighting candles. So l'chatchila, candles should be lit in both locations and electricity should be put on the Shem Kavod Shabbos, but the bracha l'chatchila should be made in the place where you eat, if you have that ability to do so. Most of the time, people don't have that ability. It sounds a little bit strange, because I'm telling you, light candles when you're going to be eating, though sometimes you'll be very nervous. You're leaving, you have to make sure you're going to be there on time. You're cutting it very close, so you want to play games. You want to play games, so you just light at home, you're leichter with the bracha. Someone will probably tell you they don't feel comfortable lighting in someone else's home. I have my big, nice leichter with my expensive leichter, so I'm going to light without a bracha and then go to someone else's house and light there with a bracha. It's not fair. It's very hard to digest.
You're coming home late, and the kids
what?
Might be out already in your house.
Then it's a real bracha levatala. If you're going to come home late and the candles are already going to be out, that's mamish bracha levatala. On the other hand, it's not mamish bracha levatala because I lit candles l'shem kavod Shabbos. I did a pa'ula. I did an action in honor of Shabbos. Will I derive benefit from this action? No. Because I'm leaving the house as soon as I light the candles, I'm running away. I'm not deriving benefit. It's a very weak leniency. But we're samech on this very often, especially in hotels. A lot of the hotels, they refuse to let you light candles in the dining room. They light candles out in the lobby. So there is no Onik Shabbos. There is no Shalom Bayis. So why are you allowed to make a bracha? Rav Moshe is very disturbed. Why are you allowed to make a bracha? So the answer he says is it must be that kavod, the action of lighting a candle in honor of Shabbos, even though you will derive absolutely no benefit, is enough of an excuse to make a bracha. It's not a very good excuse, but b'diavad is an excuse. L'chatchil the poskim say you should derive some benefit to daven in front of the candles, and to derive some benefit. When a woman is mekabel Shabbos, so you can already at that point in time you can derive benefit. You can derive benefit. Mr. Rappaport, it could be that some poskim, again, I have to go back and look up, but it could be that some poskim will say that in your situation, maybe a woman should light the candles in her home, but if she would light the candles in her home early, she has to derive benefit from the candles by davening in front of the candles or saying till in front of the candles. But again, it appears from what I've learned is that ideally the candles should be lit with the brach in the place where you eat, because that fulfills kavod and onig. And you're getting in both in that location. Okay, let's go. Yeah.
Put the lights on in a place where before Shabbos you put the lights on in the place where you sleep. Should say the color Shabbos.
Yes, absolutely, 100%. Yeah.
I think in a hotel they're not going to allow you to light candles at the table because then they can't change the table.
Right.
If they allow you in that end of the dining room, it has no benefit for you.
Exactly, but they don't even let you do. They tell you to lie in the lobby.
Yeah, it's the same benefit.
Same benefit.
It's for safety reason also. Right.
Okay, but it adds maybe the onig is the ambiance. You're in the dining room and you see the nearest Shabbos in the background in the dining room. Even though you're not deriving benefit, you're getting from your back is towards it.
Yeah,
all right, but it does. Okay, it's not for nothing that in a fancy restaurant there's candlelight. Right, it's not for nothing. You go to an expensive, nice wedding. There's candles on the table. It does enhance the ambiance.
But they can take the paper off.
They can't take it off. But in the same room, as long as in the room there are candles lit, it does enhance the Oynik Shabbos to some degree. You're right. Rav Moshe says it's a very bizarre thing. Today, the electricity is what does it all. So what are we doing already? Rav Moshe, Rav Moshe basically says is that it's very weak. It's a chiddush today that a woman can make a bracha when she lights Ner Shabbos. It's a chiddush because what are you really doing? Kavod Shabbos, is that really enough? Rav Moshe seems to say it's not enough. Kavod Shabbos. You're shining your shoes with Kavod Shabbos. The Chazal Masakin to make a bracha for shining your shoes, for doing the laundry with Kavod Shabbos, for setting the table. Chazal when I'm these are all things you do with Kavod Shabbos. With Chazal Masakin the bracha for there are many pulas. You cook, you prepare, you clean the house, you vacuum. No one's making brachas. So lighting candles, does you make a bracha with Kavod Shabbos? So why would Chazal Masakin the bracha? Because this is something you're actually going to derive benefit from on Shabbos itself. I'm going to be able to see what you're eating.
But no, woman derives benefit from.
How? If that's the Kabbalah, that's a consequence. That's not a benefit. That's a side benefit. When she makes the bracha, she's in the Kabbal Shabbos. So now, Mamela, she can't do malacha. But that's not a real benefit. In ancient times, it was a real benefit because the candles remain lit the entire night. You actually have illumination because of these candles. It goes into Shabbos. The illumination is the Onik Shabbos, is the Shalom Bayis. But today, if the candles would go out, no one would blink. So big deal, the candles went out. So I have the electric lights. I have this light, I have that light. I have the Shalom Bayis and I have the Onik Shabbos. So what are the candles already? Kavod. I've done a pa'ula. And Moshe says, that's not enough to make a bracha. And Moshe concludes, I guess it is. Because if you're going to tell the women not to make a bracha, they're not going to let you come into the house.
When you, before Shabbos,
yeah.
Take the bulb in the fridge.
Yeah.
And you
turn it off.
So it shouldn't go on or something.
That you don't say L'shem Kavod Shabbos.
No. Now, why you take it out?
Yeah.
So that you can have Onik Shabbos, so you can eat from.
Things. There are many things. There are many things that you're doing. You go to the store. You go to the bakery. You're going to say L'shem Kavod Shabbos. You could say it. It's a very nice thing to do. You could do it. You could say, but that's not the halacha. Halacha is the Islamic called Ner Shabbos. Ner Shabbos has to be miyuchad L'shem Shabbos. Any electrical light, according to many poskim, is also a fulfillment of the Takanas Chazal of Ner Shabbos. There's no limit to how many neros you are required to light. We light two neros, but Mikra, then you can light as many neros. The more light, the better. So every time you light an electrical appliance, electrical light, it's a fulfillment of Chazal's requirement of Ner Shabbos, and that has to be said. You have to designate the Neros L'shem Kavod Shabbos. Okay, let's do the last halacha. We're running out of time. Last halacha is we discussed this before. I'm going to review this. The last Isha Sheshacha Panachas Lahalik, a woman that forgot once in her life to light Ner Shabbos. So there's a Knas. Talik kol yemecha ner echad yoyser mimash shohayser regila, has to light an additional candle for the rest of her life. V'cheinim shocha kama pavim, let's say she's last week she forgot, so now she's lighting three, and now this week she forgot again, so she has to light four. She has to keep on lighting an additional candle for every single time she made a mistake. V'cheinim shocha kama pavim, talik tamin ner echad yoyser for the rest of her life. Why? For whom is shom heker shetehe zihira mikan l'haba? It's a punishment that she should be more careful mikan l'haba not to forget to light Ner Shabbos. L'chein in machmas oynis. However, let's say it was an accident. It was not due to her fault. She was in the hospital and she just was unable to light candles. Or let's say she lit candles and the candles went out. Okay, that's another occurrence. She lit candles and then by the time she comes home, comes to the meal, the candles went out because the wind came and blew it. Or let's say she told her husband, I'm not feeling well, I'm going to sleep, you're going to have to light the candles, and her husband, the shemazel, forgot to light the candles, so she did hers, it's the husband who messed up, the husband has no kenas. If a man is lighting candles, and a man forgets to light the candles, there's no kenas.
Because it's the
man has no kenas, because it's not the man's mitzvah, it's not his mitzvah, it's the woman's mitzvah, so it's only one. So if a woman is not feeling well, she goes to sleep early and she tells her husband to light candles, the husband forgets, she did hers. I told an agent to light candles in my I told the husband to light candles, he messed up, I have no obligation. It's only when she forgets. If she forgets to light candles. Now what about a woman? I once heard this question asked. I don't remember the answer. I don't think it was a clear answer. A woman is blessed to have 14 children. And then none of them are married yet. Okay, can you imagine what it's like to take care of 14 children, 14 non-married children?
And one of 15.
Yeah. One of 15. So at some point in time, they were all not married, and whatever the situation is, and. Can you imagine what she's going through every day, and especially Erev Shabbos to get ready for Shabbos on a winter. Afternoon, in the middle of January, February, Shabbos at 4:10, and she has to do the laundry and prepare the food, and she just forgot to light the candles. Is that called she forgot, or is that called an oinus? An oinus. What do you want from me? I got 14 kids. Do you know how many diapers I have to change? Do you know how much I have to cook? You don't have to do this, I have to do that, and I deal with this child, that child. Is that nothing, right? Nothing. She's nothing. So is that called an oinus, or is that called sheshochach? This is a good question, which there is no clear answer. Many poskim will tell you that a situation like that is begedrin an oinus, when her attention is being pulled by so many obligations and so many duties to deal and to light to now, and she just slipped in a short day. You can't hold a woman accountable. Begeder sheshochach. That's begeder oinus. Oinus does not have this knas. A woman is comfortable. She went on vacation. She's in a hotel. Everything. She's lying. She's by the pool. Everything is good and fine. And then it comes Shabbos. She forgot. That is not an oinus. That is sheshochach. Then the knas kicks in. But 14 children, that's already a different story. Now I have here a very good sefer. This is a sefer. It's an amazing sefer. It's called Mincha Shabbos. It seems to be an old sefer. It is on Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, only Hilcha Shabbos. It starts with Simin, what's Simin? It starts with the beginning of Hilcha Shabbos, Simin Ayin Beis, right? And it goes up only until Simin Tzadi Aleph. It's a very old sefer. It seems that it was out of print for a very, very long time. The Moichar Svarim in Beagleizen, Aaron Beagleizen, he told me that this sefer was out of print for a very, very long time and it was in high demand. So the Mishpacha, someone redid it, they retypeset the entire thing. And it's similar in a way to the She'arim Mitzuyanim BeHalacha. The author is Shomir Shin Vav Yud Mem Ayin Resh of Moshe Bar Yosef. I'm not sure I'm pronouncing it correctly. Shomir. Okay, so it was I didn't get a chance really to go through the whole thing, the whole shah, the forward. It was redone. He told this is supposed to be a classic. That's a Yom Tov L'Rabbanon that it was reprinted because it was unavailable, and it has a lot of very interesting things, a collection of Shas Tshuva Svarim. So I didn't give really much of a chance to go through, but just in preparation for today, I looked at things that it said with regard to this Takana, and he says some interesting things. He says that it's better than lighting an additional candle to give the money, Sverei Chiddush, to an ani, a poor woman that can't afford to buy candles. That if a woman, Rachman al-Slan, finds herself in this situation where she forgot to light candles, and now has a knas to light an additional candle, she should light. But if it's too difficult for her to light an additional candle, she should at least, for the rest of her life, pay for tzedakah to a woman who would otherwise not light candles. That is also a fulfillment of the knas. If I don't light the extra candle, let at least another woman who would otherwise not light candles, let her light candles and I will pay for it. That will also be a fulfillment of the knas. He also brings out another solution, which maybe some people do, maybe people, the people are embarrassed. No, it's probably very embarrassing. If you only light two candles, and so that we mentioned before, people have different customs. How many candles do you light? Some people they light for each child, they light an additional candle. But not everyone has that custom. Some people, even if they have 10 children, they only light two candles. And now if a woman forgets to light candles, so the rest of her life she has to light three candles. So when guests come into the home, they see three candles. You're making a public statement every week. I'm a pasheya. I forgot to light candles. It's not very pleasant. So he brings an eitzah. He writes some poskim. She can light taller candles. That if until now her custom was to light short candles, she can light taller candles. It'll last longer. If you only add a certain amount of oil, right? If you add the liquid paraffin, so you add a little bit more for the rest of her life. That way you hide your shame. You're fulfilling the knas because the candle's being lit longer than they otherwise would, and to a certain degree you're hiding your shame. That's very... You're hiding
your children.
Well, people who don't light, maybe Ayin Har, people don't want to light many candles. They don't want to give an Ayin Har to their children. Yeah, he says this. It's a very difficult... I remember once a balabas came to my father. He told my father, his wife forgot to light. And he asked my father, is it really true? Is it really true? There's a knas that if you forget to light candles the rest of your life, you have to light an additional candle? I don't remember what happened. I remember the details. But I remember how disturbed this person was, because it was too hard for him to grasp that the rest of his life his wife's going to light an additional candle. It was hard for him to absorb. So I don't know what the maskan was. Maybe my father found from the heter that it wasn't a shagig, it was an oinis, or maybe it could be that happened. It was ben hashmoshes. If it happens during ben hashmoshes, you realize he didn't light. It's already after sunset. Before it say sakab, before at least for 35 minutes for sure, you can instruct a guy. A guy can light the candles on your behalf, and you can even make the bracha. The guy can light the candles and you can make the bracha. Many pass in that way. Some hold you can't make the bracha, but the guy can at least light, and that will save you. By the guy lighting candles for you after sunset, that will save you from the knas. Okay, so people, not everyone, it's very hard to deal with. So someone that can't deal with this knas, I mean, it's knas, you gotta do it, but someone that can't deal with the knas, and he's a person of means, so he presents here from very good sources, you can give a very significant amount of tzedakah, it seems, to some organization where they provide candles. I know Lubavitch. Lubavitch is very big into women lighting candles Friday night. So I'm not saying this for halacha, but I'm saying a person that just can't deal with this. There are such people with such a knas, or maybe a person that has a heter that it wasn't 100% shogeg. It was shogeg / oinus. Right, you'll tell me, was I really a shogeg? Maybe I was an oinus. So you feel like you're somewhere in between, and a person's a very wealthy person. So you know what? I'll give a $10,000 donation to Lubavitch for their candle lighting program, and that will be, if you know, for $10,000 you can buy a lot of candles, and that money will go for a program where they give out candles by the Kaisam, Shoneri Tishol, different Chabad centers. They give out candles to women. Did you put on tefillin today? Did you light candles today? Did you light light candles for Shabbos? To some degree, that is also a solution to this problem. Or a woman should upgrade. Every so often you hear about women, you ever go to a Suda Shabbos, and the woman will tell you, I've upgraded. I used to light these candles, and now I now light the liquid paraffin, you know, they're these very nice, whatever, and she feels I made an upgrade in doing something that she feels more mohudr, or lighting near Shemen Zayis. So to some degree, an upgrade in what you were doing until now is also a fulfillment. We did just a review, we learned last time that a kala, the first week of a Sheva Brachas, is not Shmeik Shechianu, and does not have this kenas. If a kala during a Sheva Brachas forgets to light the first week, there is no kenas. She is forgiven. What else is a kenas? Only applies to two neros. If you forget one of the two, even if you forget even one, I don't think there's a kenas. You have to forget entirely. If you only light one candle, it's also good. But let's say you have a custom of lighting 10 candles, and oops, I didn't count this week. I only counted 9. You come home, wait a minute, there are only 9 candles. But I light every week 10 candles. I made a mistake. I forgot to light candle number 10. There's no kenas. The kenas only when you completely forget to light. Okay, let's just see the mitzvah. Let me see over here on the bottom. What? Bir Locha says that. Look at the bottom. Reish Samach Gimel. He mentions that. Okay. Let me just see over here. We did everything here on the bottom. We did everything on the bottom. Okay. So we're up to Simon Ayin Vav. Okay. So that we'll start with that tomorrow. Ayin Vav. Yeah. Yeah. I can't hear what? I want to turn it away.